following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And a good Tuesday morning to you here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug taking some time off, has a chance to kind of hang out with family a little bit. Randy Bushcutter and Damon Day, kind enough to join us. Double D, good to see you, man.
Good to be back. It's been a long June. It's been a long June. I've been taking care of my other duties as assigned.
Which means what? Golf, parenting.
Yeah, actually, it's been a busy month of recruiting and taking care of all the behind the scenes stuff that makes a season go off. And I cannot believe that the boys are less than 7 weeks away from already being back into school. So it's kind of flown by for me a little bit.
It is. It's a downhill slope after the 4th of July. It is. The summer is over after the 4th of July in a lot of ways.
It is. For you in the media markets, I'm sure it's football, college football, prep, getting ready for high school football, doing all those different types of things. For me, it's still chasing paperwork, doing all that. So it's good to be back. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And you kind of mentioned that we are making that transition in the fall. We're beginning our 14 teams in 14 days. We'll begin at the top with the defending Big Ten champions from Michigan State. And we'll talk with Paul Conendike from the Spartan Magazine. We'll talk a little bit about what the Spartans have this year. That'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Obviously, a chance with Damon in here to talk a little baseball as well. And we might as well start with your own program. You have an announcement to kind of make today. UNK hires a new assistant coach, but not necessarily a new face to the program, kind of a return to somebody that's a former Loper.
Yes, we're excited to announce Marcus Clapp has accepted the assistant events manager / assistant baseball coaching position, which became final over the weekend, and so we're extraordinarily excited to add Marcus to an already coaching staff that has done some good things, and it doesn't really affect anybody on our coaching staff. We didn't lose anybody. It's just kind of more of a position that Marcus was qualified for with his previous experience as an athletic director at Scottsdale Community College and his administrative work there, and so Marcus will take over our pitching staff and be responsible for those duties, and then Trey Howell, our hitting guy, probably one of the best hitting guys, young hitting coaches in the country. We're still able to kind of keep on to him because he does his day job as a probation officer and something that he's passionate and enjoys doing there. So he's going to still do that. And then Coach Steve Stutzman will be returning from he's up in Casper, Wyoming, coaching in the Mountain West League for the summer. And so he'll return to his recruiting duties and help me with team defense. So it's nice to have a full coaching staff. It's the first time we've had a full four-man coaching staff, and that's very typical of most college baseball programs. But it'll be the first time that we've had a full-out four-man staff. And we're very excited about that. That's kind of the norm in the MIAA, and this is just another rung in the ladder to try to keep up with those schools in the MIAA. And I think that with Marcus's track record of having a tremendous amount of success in developing young pitchers, I think that bodes well for us in the MIAA. So we're really excited to welcome Marcus to the baseball family.
And so that's going to change your duties a little bit, too. I think you were one of them that was kind of working a little bit more with the pitchers. I mean, it just kind of lightens everybody's load a little bit.
You know, it's You always talk about there's basically three phases to a program. There's basically the offensive side, there's the defensive side, and there's the pitching side when you're talking about on the field. And now we got that kind of covered, and then obviously Coach Stutz has been taking care of a huge portion of a baseball program is the recruiting, making sure that that pipeline of talent is kind of there. And so I know that I'm excited to give the pitchers somebody that is passionate about the pitching, who has the knowledge base about pitching. And I think you're really going to see our pitchers really develop above and beyond what we were able to do with them. I think what they will be able to do with one guy whose only focus is to be with those pitchers, I think we expect big things from our pitching staff.
And Marcus is also going to be an event coordinator. He's basically going to be doing a lot of the jobs, especially on the football side, that Rich Broderson had done, because Rich is going to go back up to the PA booth. He's going to be doing the PA, getting rid of that clown they've had for the past 15 years or so. And he's going to be doing the day-to-day kind of operation of the events themselves for the football games and stuff like that. So that'll be a big part of what Marcus is doing as well. So you have to share him. You don't get to have him full-time, but it is kind of nice, as you said, to have that full staff finally.
It is, and it's a good start. And Dr. Polinsky, I tip my cap to him being inventive on getting some of these positions taken care of. And like you said, I think it's something that'll benefit the entire athletic department, having Marcus be there in the fall and winter sports to just lend a hand to making the events continue to be as good as they have been here at the university.
Absolutely. Well, while we're on the subject of baseball, we can have a little bit of baseball talk as well. We'll talk a little All-Star game, but we'll start with the Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and the coolest topics. Who should have gotten the final spot in the National League All-Star team? Should it be Justin Upton from the Braves, Justin Morneau from the Rockies, or Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs? And I think all of these guys are in that final vote. Who do you give your vote to? Justin Upton, Justin Morneau, or Anthony Rizzo?
I go with Justin Morneau just because he's reinvented himself. I mean, he was written off in Minnesota, kind of, he'd gotten injured. And so I kind of give it to Justin Morneau, just knowing his background and being a Midwest guy. But it's funny how they make this big thing to do about the last guy in. Well, you'll start to see as the week goes on, they'll start just adding more. Almost all of those guys historically in the past have gotten on due to injuries or other guys not showing or
just want to have a few days rest because you got that hamstring that's a little tight or whatever you want to do.
So, but in today's society, you got to use every, I think it's Experian. Is that the new marketing? So, we got to use every chance we can.
Just keep
your name out there. So I'd like to see Justin Morneau get it.
Well, that was the vote of 40% of our voters. Justin Upton of the Braves got half the votes. So he was the winner. And Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs, who's having a solid year, did only get 10% in that. So who is your final American League final man vote? Is it Dallas Keuchel of starting? All these are star pitchers from the American League, which I think is interesting. You got Dallas Keuchel from the Astros, Corey Kluber from the Indians, Garrett Richards from the Angels, Rick Porcello of the Tigers, or Chris Sale of the White Sox.
It's got to be Chris Sale. Statistically speaking, it's a travesty that Chris Sale didn't get named to it already. But again, there's being starting pitchers. Someone will throw on Saturday and that make them unavailable, so someone will make it. And so, are you a fan of the All-Star game?
I like the All-Star game, and it is what it is. It's an exhibition. I'm not overly excited by the fact that it determines who gets the home field. It used to be just even-numbered years it was one league, odd-numbered years it was the other. So that wasn't a great system either. I don't have a better system. So I guess having something on the line is okay. I wish they would expand the rosters just a little. I mean, let's not go nuts here. Let's not make it 45 or anything. But expanding the rosters a little bit, because you have to have a player on every team. So it limits what you can do with your roster. And I think they need to do two things: expand the rosters a little bit and have re-entry for an exhibition game. Because we wouldn't have had that tie a few years back if you could have brought in somebody to pitch, for maybe another half inning or third of an inning or whatever. You could kind of patch things together and actually get enough pitching. And after a while, just say, all right, somebody shortstop that played the first inning, we're going to have a position player pitch in the All-Star game. Both teams do it. We'll break the tie. I mean, there was other ways around that if you could have a little bit of re-entry. It's an exhibition game. Shouldn't have the same rules as every other baseball game.
I think you just go nine innings. to tie, you tie. They do in spring training. You just, I mean, that way you can just.
Well, which is also an exhibition game.
Yeah. So that's from a baseball standpoint, just write down your nine pitchers, who's all going to go there one inning so they know when they're going to go. They know how they're going to go. If you go out and give up five, well, then that's your fault in an all-star game. Just write down your nine pitchers on both sides and be done with it. I don't like the whole all-star game meaning so much as it does because, like you said, it is an exhibition. You have guys who. You know, let's face it, if this wasn't Jeter's last year, Jeter would be taking the All-Star game off. There would be some sort of something going on Saturday or Sunday injury-wise that would give him, I'm just going to go day-to-day, but this is his last one, so obviously. So that makes it very cool, makes it why I'm going to watch is to see a Derek Jeter. But all these All-Star games, you know, they just, to me, they've lost their place. They've kind of lost their time in the game, and that's just my own personal opinion with the injuries.
Well, how is it different? How is it different from the 80s? How is it different from the 70s?
Oh, the 80s and 70s, those guys were tough. Well, those guys were.
But how's the game itself different? How is the All-Star game different? Besides, you know, now they've tried to instill some fake value to it in terms of the World Series home field. How is it different? I mean, are we just thinking that the good old days where the All-Star game was better? Or
oh yeah, without a doubt, I think the athletes have changed. I think their pride level has changed. I think how they treat each other as athletes and how it there's no rivalry.
I'll give you that.
There's no rivalry anymore. That used to mean something to be an American League player and win that All-Star game. Now it doesn't. And you see these guys, I mean, these guys are all like buddies. They have the same agents. They all hang out with the same, you know, they run in the same. That's not how it used to be. I mean, everyone talks about Pete Rose, Ray Fosse. I mean, that's how it used to be. You were there to win.
Well, but again, those two were friends.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
He took Fosse out because, as Pete Rose said, people paid more for the All-Star game ticket than a regular baseball ticket, so I got to give more effort.
Yeah.
That's exactly his thought.
And so I don't think today's baseball player thinks along those lines, and I think that's where it's changed when you say 70s and 80s is the players don't. It doesn't mean as much to the players. I don't think winning means as much to the players anymore. I think it means a lot to us as fans, but I think if you talk to athletes, and I know maybe it's at different levels, getting paid is more important than winning championships. Getting a playoff check is maybe a more motivation. But I think that people would be very disheartened if they knew how professional athletes, in my opinion, view the fandom and everything else. I don't think they care. I just don't think the athletes care. They want to win because it's a contract year. It's become, and maybe I'm that cynical fan, but it wasn't like that in the 70s and 80s. These guys played for pride. They played for different types of reasons.
Internal motivation,
yes,
not the
external.
Yes,
they played for the town. They were a Boston Red Sox. They were a Yankee. I don't think you have that anymore. Now it's highest bidder. I'm a mercenary. I mean, everyone talks about Teixeira and McCann in wearing Yankee. Those guys aren't Yankees. I mean, that's what makes Jeter's last season to me so special is because he is a Yankee because he was born and bred, and you don't have that anymore. That's what, you know, you don't have the Craig Biggios. You don't have Cal Ripkins anymore. You know, you saw it with Schmarzda. Schmarzda hasn't done anything for three seasons. He's been on and off, and then finally they got him to the point where he is dealing, and he's the ace they always thought they would be. See ya. You know, we'll get more for you down the road. We'll get the next prospect, and that's where I feel bad as a Cub fan because I'm not a Cub fan, but I grew up in the Chicagoland area, and you follow the Cubs, and it's just once again, we're waiting on next. Oh, we got the next great prospect. Well, Schmarzda was the next great prospect.
And off he goes.
So I think it has changed in the.
Yeah, but that was a trade. I mean, you can't pin that on him.
Oh, no, not on Schmarzda at all. I'm just saying that kind of goes back to how I think things have changed so much from the 70s and 80s.
And, you know, here's a guy that has a little bit of potential of kind of being that throwback is Alex Gordon. Born and raised Lincoln, Nebraska, played at Southeast, was a Husker. You know, the Husker kind of throws a little bit of a shadow at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. He's a Royal, going to be the next George Brett. That didn't work out. Put him in left field where he's been phenomenal on the All-Star team this year. He potentially could be that guy. You kind of mentioned somebody that like a Biggio or whatever. I hope that his entire career, Alex Gordon, is always wearing a baby blue uniform.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see because, 2 years till free agency? I don't know his exact
contract. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure his contract, but two sounds right to me.
You got the same kind of thing with Hosmer. I mean, he's been, you know, now granted he doesn't have the same backstory, but he was drafted by the Royals, and so, you know, what's going to happen with him? And you just have seen it more times than not where the guy leaves for the money. the guy has that big offer. And so that's where I think baseball has changed, since we're talking obviously about baseball. That's where baseball, in my opinion, has changed so much, is it is no longer the name on the front. It's no longer for hometown pride. It's no longer for the team.
Well, was it ever? I mean,
you know what? We were the portrait was painted that way.
It was painted that way, but I don't know if truly right. For most of those players it really was.
Right, and without a doubt, they were the ones that were upset because, you know, you forget Maris and those guys. They had to go work a job during the wintertime to make ends meet for those types of things. When you talk about way back in the day, no, but the picture was painted to us as baseball fans of this Norman Rockwell, Americana, baseball, everything else. I don't believe it was that way, but that's how it was portrayed, rather than today as bounty hunters, mercenaries, money grubbing, get highest paycheck that you possibly can. And so I think that the story in society has changed. We're not as innocent as a society as we were back then, and believe in those holier than now type of players.
Kind of funny you mentioned Maris. That was his first year with the Yankees. I think he played for Kansas City before that. I don't know if he got traded or was a free agent. Well, they didn't really truly have free agency back then, but he got traded in there. So, I mean, even our memory is like, they were always this team.
Oh, you know? They were always Yeah. No,
and I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think our memory kind of makes this so they were a little bit more
revisionist history.
Yes, little bit more than what we really want to give them credit for. Well, don't forget to log on to our Midtown Mart of Hastings cooler topic and tell us which one of those pitchers from the American League you think should get the final man vote that they have going on. And I'm with you. I think Chris Sale, White Sox, best record of the bunch, best ERA of the bunch, you know, strikeout to walk ratio. All those stats favor Chris Sale, who's having a phenomenal year.
Yeah, I've been, you know, he's the modern day Randy Johnson. He is definitely the modern day big, tall, lanky. If you haven't seen him, go YouTube him. He is a lot of elbows and angles coming right at you.
Yeah, that ball has a little pop that most
little
people,
life, little
yeah,
life.
Yeah, ball has a little life. I like the phrase. We're gonna take a quick break. Coming up here in just a little bit, we'll be talking with Michigan State football from Spartan Magazine, Paul Condendike, and we'll be talking with him, and we'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
What does success look like for you? Maybe it's time to start something new at Complete Nutrition, a clean, comfortable place where you can discuss your health and nutritional needs on a personal level. It's more than just a store. It's an experience. Want a supplement plan that works with your lifestyle? For mature men, there's TrueForm from Complete Nutrition. This daily metabolism-boosting multivitamin has everything you need for long-term wellness. TrueForm supports heart health, a better prostate, energy, mood, memory, and reinvigorates male vitality. TrueForm Power and Performance, a multivitamin for men. Complete Nutrition. Success starts here.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mainly sunny skies across the area today. Highs near 81 with winds out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear. Lows cooling towards 60. Then into Wednesday, sunny, a high of 82. Right now, 73.
And welcome back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Randy Bushcutter, Damon Day. Kind of a more baseball slant than we probably normally have, since we have a great baseball mind with us. That's Emma, of course.
Yes. Everyone's just stunned we're not talking football.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we are going to start that here
in a little bit.
14 teams in 14 days. We'll be talking a little Michigan State football coming up here in just a little bit. The Cornhusker League All-Star Game is tonight in Grand Island, beginning at 7 o'clock from Carney Runza. Matt Moore, Peyton Pocock, and Chris Lang will be on the mound. And also Grand Island Home Federal will be well represented. They've got four players, Riley Bosch, Kevin Cahoy, Calvin Henke, and Phoenix Stevenson, all suiting up for the West as well. So the All-Star game coming up here tonight. That's, you know, we're talking a little All-Star. Those are probably games of some note for you as well, to kind of be able to do a little watching for that.
Yeah, without a doubt. Phoenix Stevenson's a UNK signee. We're excited to have him. He's had a great year for Grand Island, and we're excited to get him in uniform next fall. But, you know, we've identified our 2015s, and we're starting to kind of that whole process. But I just love all conference games. I love the All-Star games for kids, for the high school kids. I mean, it's such a big deal because you usually go to dinner with them. You kind of get to hang out. You kind of get to meet different types of kids. And so I do enjoy going to those All-Star games where kids have earned it, where they haven't, you know, mom and dad haven't signed them up for it or anything like that. I really enjoy those all-conference, All-Star games that you kind of get to go to where the kids are, you know, getting to play against each other or play on the same team when they're used to always being opponents.
And, you know, they get to know each other. Baseball is one of those sports where you see each other at tournaments enough. You kind of have those familiar faces. And, you know, football, you may not even recognize one of the guys you play with because they got the helmet on. These guys, you get to see their faces, get to kind of know them, and you see them at other events and stuff like that. It is kind of a nice opportunity for them to sit in the same dugout for a few hours and just kind of hang out and be teammates for a while.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And so, again, that's 7 o'clock tonight at Ryder Park, which is a awfully nice baseball facility as well. I want to talk a little bit about the All-Star game, the Royals. The Royals are pretty well represented. We have Troutman's Tuesday Trivia will deal a little bit with the All-Star game with a little bit of a Royals slant to it. The answer won't be the Kansas City Royals to the question we ask. But it's kind of interesting. A couple of Huskers in the All-Star game. Alex Gordon, obviously, with Kansas City, and a pitcher for the Pirates as well. It's kind of nice to see. And again, it's the other program that kind of casts a little bit of a shadow for what UNK has to deal with. But it's nice to have kind of a nice Midwestern feel to the All-Star game. Somewhat of a local feel, again, with a guy that was born and raised in Lincoln.
Yeah, Tony Watson's the left-handed pitcher out of Iowa. I think he's from Grimes, Iowa. He was, if anybody remembers the glory days of Husker baseball, he was right in the thick of it as a pitcher. And he's overcome some issues, arm issues, throughout his career. And so I think it's really cool to see him make it. I mean, he's 5-0. I think he's got an ERA under 1, or maybe it's like around a 1.25, something in that area. But just absolutely shoving out of the Pittsburgh Pirates bullpen. And those are the ones that you like to see. Those guys who have kind of grinded it through. I mean, Alex Gordon, for example, second All-Star game, you know, for what he was projected to do, be the next George Brett, and then things not go his way. But he's still rebounded from that early failure to become a very solid to above average, obviously, professional baseball player. He's one of the best outfielders that in the game. You definitely don't want to run on him, and people still do.
Which is foolish to me.
But that's something that I enjoy in the All-Star game to see is kind of that, you know, last year, the closer from Pittsburgh, Greeley, you know, bounced around the major leagues for 13 years as a reliever, and then all of a sudden got his shot.
And so
the All-Star game isn't so much of a career. It's kind of who put together the best first 3.5 months. I don't know if you remember back in the day, Rick Rushel was 12-0. Didn't even win 20 games. So the All-Star game is a weird dynamic of popularity and a great first half. We were talking during the break, and you're like, you know, Java made it in 07. He didn't get called up till August, and then he had that phenomenal run. And so, you know, that's kind of the thing about being an All-Star is an interesting caveat, but I do love those stories of both those Huskers kind of showing what Nebraska's all about. You pick yourself up and move on.
And you kind of mentioned it's not a career thing. It's about a season thing. And you know I got to work Cincinnati Red into this story somewhere. When the Reds won the World Series in 1990, starting pitcher for the All-Star game, the National League starter was Jack Armstrong.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the rest of Jack Armstrong's career? Not a lot.
Nope.
Not a lot, but he started in the All-Star game in 1990. He was the starting pitcher for the National League. And rest of the season, it kind of fell off for him. You know, obviously, when I think about the pitching that the Reds had that year, Jack Armstrong is not one of the first four or five names I even come up with.
Is 90s the Nasty Boys?
That's the Nasty Boys.
Was it Dibble?
Charlton.
To Charlton, and who was the third? Blanda, or not Blanda?
Rio was the starting pitcher. Charlton, Dibble, and...
Oh, I thought the Stan Belinda, wasn't it?
No. It wasn't Belinda. It wasn't Belinda.
I'm throwing
it's the red. Usually Charlton, the one I can't think of. Yeah. And so that now it's bothering me. It'll come.
Isn't that
me.
The year that Dibble and Pinella had to be separated?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. That makes for great baseball bloopers and baseball videos. And
Dibble got in a little bit of trouble. After a win one game, they threw him the ball back, and he threw it in the crowd, and he ended up beaning in the outfield some teacher. Game's over. You're not waiting for, they're looking for balls to come flying in the stands anymore. She got beaned, and he got in a little bit of trouble for that, and rightly so. I mean, yep. You know, they're not looking.
No.
Rob, that's a bad time for that.
So. Yes.
God, it's going to bother me. I can't think of his name. It'll come to me later.
Myers.
Yeah, Randy Myers.
Randy Myers.
Why can't I remember a guy named Randy?
Yeah.
It's not like there's a lot of us that know a guy named Randy in the big league. So, yeah. I love the All-Star game. You mentioned that for the younger kids, the overall All-Star game as well. It's just meant to be a little fun. Just
Midsummer's League. What is it called?
The Midsummer Classic.
That's it.
And we also get the feeling of kind of where you're at as a program, as a team, where you're at in the big leagues. The Royals, 3.5 games out of first place. You know, right there in the thick of things for getting a wild card. This team is kind of – the Royals are kind of turning into the team that we kind of hope they would be.
Yes, without a doubt. They have got some energy about them, and it'll be interesting to see who – if they try to add. You know, most years it's who are the Royals going to give up?
Yeah, not much pop in the lineup. They're last in the league in terms of home runs, but, you know, if they score more than 3 runs, their record is phenomenal.
Yeah, so, you know, that's kind of the next step for them is who are they going to add a bat? Is there a hitter out there that they kind of targeted as maybe bringing in somebody to kind of help out? Do you mess with chemistry? Because let's face it, they're kind of a chemistry team right now. They're kind of got that young bunch. We've kind of been grown up together to kind of do this thing with some pieces added. Obviously, James Shields adding some frontline, Guthrie adding some veteran pitching there. But I think it's very interesting to see now the dog days. Now come August where – when you don't have that pop, when you don't have some of that offensive capability, it starts to show its way now when pitchers are starting to get tired. August is starting to creep in. It's starting to become the dog days of the season. And so I'll really be interested to see those first 10 to 12, 14 games following the All-Star break for the Royals. Can they continue to just – that's where I really feel like teams separate themselves in the major league is that 10 to 20 game window following the All-Star break, and you know, you kind of got the rush of the first half over with, and it's like
you're finding yourself in the first half.
Yes.
Now it's time to put it all out there.
Yes. And now, can you keep up with it? Can you keep up with all the getting all the breaks, making your own breaks? you know, like you said, scoring more than three runs sounds really easy, but it can become much more difficult come August.
Especially since they really don't have guys out there. They're going to hit that three-run homer for you. Yeah, they just don't have a lot of pop. To me, it'd be interesting to see if they develop a little bit of that. The ball does travel better at the K in August and September. I mean, it's just the wind patterns and the heat from the field and all that stuff. They do get a – and when they had turf, it was like, wow. It was a lot of lift out of that. But so it will be interesting to see what they're able to do. Maybe they'll get a little bit more offense, but I think they'll have to trade for it. I just don't know if they want to give up any of that young talent that they have in order to get one bat out there. I don't know if they necessarily want to do that. We kind of mentioned the Kauffman Stadium being that beautiful ballpark. Well, when you think of a beautiful lawn around here, you have to think of Johnson Lawn and Landscaping. That's the only name you need to know when you want your lawn looking great all year round. Landscaping with trees, shrubs, rocks, and custom concrete edging. That means that you get both style and functionality to your new or existing landscaping. Imagine having a yard that looks like you spent hours on it when, in fact, you're just relaxing in the lawn. Call Johnson Lawn and Landscape, serving the Tri-Cities at NebraskaLandscape.com, or call 237-LAWN. Call them today or stop in at their nursery located just behind Yellow Van on 6th Street in Kearney, proudly landscaping Nebraska and doing amazing work. That's Johnson Lawn and Landscape. We're going to take a quick break. We'll talk a little Michigan State football. We come back right after this.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just arrange happy hour, I've got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Looking for a great job? Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating is currently hiring service plumbers and heating and cooling technicians. Experience is preferred, but if you're hardworking and dependable, Anderson Brothers is willing to provide training. You'll benefit from an excellent starting wage and a great benefit package, which includes health insurance, 401k, and a cafeteria plan. To apply or for further information, stop in person at Anderson Brothers Kearney or Holdridge location during regular business hours. Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating, an equal opportunity employer.
Honestly, the first thing I thought was I might be out for a long time if I don't get this checked out, because I heard a pop in my ankle, and so I came here. It's like having a second set of coaches. They want you to get better just like your coaches want you. They push you. It feels really, really good to get over something. It's kind of like winning a football game. It's something that you love the feeling of it, because you're back to 100% and then you're back to playing again.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with locations to serve you across central Nebraska.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better, with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service, and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
And welcome back here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be talking a little football here in just a little bit. We'll be talking about the Michigan State Spartans. Before we get into that, kind of an update with the case that was, I thought, settled some time back was the NFL and their concussion settlement. A federal judge basically said there was enough money in the pool from the original settlement that was done some time back, so they put more money in there, and the concussion discussion continuing. In fact, the NCAA announced this week that they are recommending that you only have two contact practices in any given week during the course of the season to try to reduce the number of concussions that we have. And to me, the amount of information that we've heard about concussions over just the past like 2 or 3 years probably outshadows what we've known about it for the first, 25, 30 years before that. And it even affects baseball.
Oh, no, I think without a doubt, I think you're just getting to the point with the football and the concussions and everything else that, you're just going to have to weigh the risk factor. I mean, there's an inordinate amount of risk when you play a highly competitive sport at any level, but football obviously more so with the head injuries than anything. I think that's the discussion that people are going to have. And I still believe you're seeing the game drastically change more and more over time to what will it be like 20 years from now, 15 years from now. When's it going to turn into, well, just don't hit at all during the week? Well, now, okay,
And there's some programs already there.
Oh, yeah.
And have them even before this happened because they want to prevent injury.
Yes, without a doubt.
Regardless of what that injury is. So it's amazing what they do when we talk about what we have to do in terms of getting ready for football. And we'll get ready for football as well as we begin. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's that time. 14 teams in 14 days leading you up to Big Ten Media Days July 28th and 29th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Big Ten East Division for today's team.
Michigan State.
The Spartans.
It's time for 14 teams in 14 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
And joining us to talk about the Spartans will be Paul Konendike from Spartan Magazine. Paul, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule. Thanks for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, it's good to be with you guys.
Well, we are starting at the top, Michigan State being the defending conference champions. I guess the first question you kind of come out of the chute, can the Spartans repeat again this year?
I think they can repeat again this year, but I think it's going to be difficult for Michigan State to replace the leadership of Max Bulla and some of the senior pieces from arguably the best defense in college football.
Defense really was the strength of the Spartans, no question about it. Last year, as they went in, 13-1, won the Rose Bowl. Were you surprised that the team was as good as they ended up being last year?
I wasn't surprised the team was as good as they ended up being, but I was surprised given all the adversity and all the ups and downs during the non-conference that they got where they got because, with the offense struggling as bad as they did, I think there was a potential for the team to get kind of torn apart a little bit. And, surprisingly, they kept things together. But I think when you have a great defense, that's kind of the equalizer. Everyone talks about offense. Everyone gets excited about teams putting points up on the board, but when you really get down to it, the one thing that you have to be a really great team is good defense, and I think you see it, you see it at the pro ranks, even with the Seattle Seahawks. I think everyone's talking about the teams that score 50 points a week, but can you get a stop when you need a stop? Can you run the football in the fourth quarter to run the game out? And if you look at what Michigan State did last year, it was built on defense, and I think there's a lot of ball control. By the end of the year, the offense was clicking. They were able to score points. If you look at the Nebraska game, Michigan State put up a lot of points in that game. And against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship, they were able to put up points. So I think what you saw is an evolution of what they were going to do. It started with defense, and then, as Connor Cook settled into his role as starting quarterback, they were able to put points up. And I think what you're going to see this year is I think Michigan State has the potential to have a top-10 type defense. But it's going to take a little time to get there, and I think you're going to see the offense maybe fill in the gaps a little bit until that defense gets where it needs to get. And, you might have some bumps in the road early. I can't imagine Michigan State winning that game at Oregon, with so many new faces on defense. And Autzen Stadium is a very, very tough place to play, as you guys know. So I think you're going to see some bumps in the road early, but I think Michigan State's going to, be competitive, and that's what they've been every year for the most part since D'Antonio took over the program in 2007.
Damon Day here, and Kyle, as you mentioned, offense is going to have to step up. And when you think of quarterbacks, you don't necessarily think of Michigan State being quarterback U and developing, but they're one of only three schools right now with three NFL quarterbacks in the National Football League. How is Connor Cook's development coming? Is he the type of guy that can put this whole offense on his shoulders and carry them, like you said, is he that type of player?
I think you saw it in the Big Ten championship game. He had a big game in that game. And you saw it again in the Rose Bowl where in the second half he threw that pick six, but then he got up and he led them right down the field for a touchdown. I think he's there. I think they've got the skill players. It's going to be a very mature offense. And I think people don't think of Michigan State as a quarterback school. But what you see coming out of Michigan State is pro-style quarterbacks. Everyone, when they look at quarterbacks around college football, they look at guys that put up 3,000, 4,000 yards passing. And a lot of those are in the spread type systems. And it's kind of like it's not a vertical passing game. What you have at Michigan State is you have a pro-style offense with elements of the spread mixed in. And it takes a pro-style guy, and that's what he is. He's 6'3", 220-something, and he's got a strong arm, and the team believes in him. So I think he is a guy that the players can rally around. And, just what they did last year, it wouldn't have been possible without Connor Cook stepping up as a quarterback.
Paul Konendyk from Spartan Magazine, kind enough to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as we begin our 14 teams in 14 days. Paul, with the offense, I mean, they are a pro-style offense, but you still need to run the football. Talk a little bit about the running game, and the Big Ten's kind of known for being kind of power football, not just that pro-style of quarterback, but power football. How are Michigan State going to be able to muscle the ball a little bit? Are they going to be able to really kind of pound the ball when they need to? What's the running game looking like?
Yeah, I think so. You've got Jeremy Langford back. He had 1,400 yards rushing last year. A little bit of a rebuild on the offensive line, but I think two of the key pieces, and Jack Allen, who's a center, he's a Remington Award candidate, and Jack Conklin at left tackle, very, very good potential All-American at some point in his career. But Jeremy Langford's back as a senior, and I think you're going to see a tailback rotation where they have some different pieces in there. Nick Hill, he's a senior. He's had a lot of carries. Delton Williams got his feet wet as a freshman at almost 500 yards, probably 400 yards last year as a true freshman. He's kind of going to be that big back. So I think you're going to see that. You're going to see a pretty good tailback rotation. Langford's, he's got some NFL potential. And I think you're going to see these tight ends that were very young last year that kind of came along over the course of the season. They're going to kind of fit well. So Michigan State's not going to change what they do. They like to get balanced. You'd like to, if they could, get balanced equally between pass and run. That's not always possible, but I think you're going to see a team that's capable of running the football and running it very effectively.
Mark D'Antonio has had a tremendous amount of success at Michigan State, but, I think when people think of the Big Ten, it's Michigan, Ohio State, they start with that. Does Michigan State kind of still have that chip on their shoulder that they're not really – given the respect that maybe they deserve, because they've been as good as anybody the last 5-7 years in the conference?
Yeah, you've got 10 wins or more, 11 wins or more in 3 out of the last 4 years, 2 Big Ten titles, 3 Big Ten or 2 Big Ten division championships, and they do fly under the radar a little bit. But I don't think that's uncommon. I mean, I think you see the same thing, maybe with Stanford a little bit and some of the other teams like that. I think Wisconsin for a lot of years was in that same boat. But I think that bodes well for Michigan State, and I think it works well with kind of the blue collar mindset that D'Antonio and his staff have. I think it's easier to battle complacency when you have a situation like that. And I think that us against the world mentality, or the chip on the shoulder, as you mentioned, is a good thing. And it's something that even if they did get more credit, probably the credit that they deserve, I think that the staff would still try to ingrain that in the players, because I think the worst thing you can have at sports at any level is a sense of complacency. That's always a stumbling block.
You kind of covered the offense. You kind of covered the defense in the whole grand scheme of things. What is a successful season for Michigan State? What are the Spartan fans going to view as a successful season? And what do you think Michigan State's record is going to be?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not sure what Spartan fans think a successful season is going to be. Well, I'll say this. I think given what the team has done three of the last 4 years, 11 wins, I think that's kind of the barometer. I'm going to say I think Michigan State will probably be right around that 11-win mark. I think they're going to stumble early at Oregon. They're going to have a hard time with some of the games in the Big Ten. But I think if you look at the Big Ten schedule, you've got most of the, you know, most of the power teams in that east side of the bracket are home games for Michigan State. So I'm gonna go out there and say, maybe 11-3. That's kind of where I think they might make it to the title game. But that's gonna be a tough game against Ohio State. And you never know with some of those East Coast road trips with Rutgers or Maryland, if there's gonna be a slip up there. I think maybe one of the games to watch is the game at Penn State, because that could be a tricky one for Michigan State. But I think really kind of when I look at the schedule, it's a tough schedule, obviously with the road trip at Oregon, but I'm thinking 11 wins for the Spartans this year.
Well, you do mention it is a tough schedule. They're at Oregon on September the 6th, but they play some pretty good teams within the conference. They start the Big Ten season with Nebraska, but that'll be at Spartan Stadium. They'll host Michigan in late October, early November. They have Ohio State coming in. So, I mean, they're playing a lot of the big boys, but as you said, at home, they get to play them. What is the environment like at Spartan Stadium? Is that, I mean, we know Autzen Stadium when they go play at Oregon, that is a tough environment for visiting teams to come in and play in. What makes it tough for visiting teams to play at Spartan Stadium?
I think Spartan Stadium has always been kind of an underrated venue. They always rank in the top 20 in attendance. And, the acoustics in there are very good with the way the stadium's built. Now they've got the scoreboards that kind of holding the sound at each end of the end zone. So I think, when you bring in a big team and big game environments, think of the Wisconsin game when the Hail Mary pass a couple of years back, or some of the Notre Dame games have been played at night. It gets pretty live in Spartan Stadium. So those should be great environments for Michigan State to play some really tough opponents, as you mentioned, Nebraska, Michigan, and Ohio State. That's kind of why I, picked them to have 11 wins, because they've got those three tough home games. I mean, you'd much rather play those games at home than on the road. And, I think there still is such a thing as home field advantage in college football. But who knows, with attendance waning around the country, that's another topic that where there's not fan support like there used to be. But I think you'll still experiment this fall at Spartan Stadium. And it's really underrated. It's a stadium to play in.
Well, Paul, we're starting to lose you a little bit. We certainly appreciate your time for joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And hopefully we'll talk to you when we get a little bit closer to Nebraska and Michigan State kicking it off on October 4th. Appreciate your time, Paul.
All right, thanks a lot, fellas. Take care.
All right, thank you. That's Paul Conan-Dyke from Spartan Magazine. And if I wasn't questioning his cell signal there a little bit, I was going to ask him. To me, it's unfortunate Notre Dame isn't playing Michigan State or Michigan. I don't think they're playing Michigan anymore, but they've lost some of those traditional games that they've had. Michigan State is one of those games that I always look forward to as a kid.
A diehard Notre Dame fan that I am, I love the Michigan Rivals. That was going to be one question that I would like to ask Spartan fans or him. Basically these guys come in and kind of represent the fan base.
Right. Yeah, they do.
And I'd like to find out what they think about this East Coast spread, this spread of the Big Ten all the way to Rutgers.
Well, but that's not why Michigan State Notre Dame aren't playing.
No. I'm just saying that I would be, that we've lost some of the tradition in the Big Ten with all the expansion and everything else. I wonder where kind of Michigan State is with that. And I also wonder that he brought up a very good point that we don't feel here in Nebraska, but is going on everywhere else in the country, is people not going to games anymore.
Yeah.
That we in Nebraska, we can't fathom that. It's still the hottest ticket in the state. We're going to sell that. Memorial is going to be sold out every game this year. But a lot of places around the country are starting to run into that. Let's not go to the game. Let's stay at home. Let's go to a tailgate. Let's watch it on TV. Let's stay where I can get to my phone and I can, and that's something that they're all working towards, is that game day experience. But HD TV and everything else has changed how we watch games so much. I don't know about you, but I enjoy watching games at home,
And I think it's also impacted even high school football
and
high school basketball and high school games and things like that. Like, I can sit here and there is a game on. I mean, you and I grew up in a time where there was the baseball game of the week. There was the college football
Monday
game
night
of the
baseball.
Week. It was a doubleheader on Saturdays. Yep. There was your
Fox,
regional game.
Yep, game of the week.
Yeah. Well, you had your two college football games. You had your regional game, and then you had your national game. Yep. And sometimes Nebraska was in the national game. And, you know, if you saw them, you might see Nebraska play football three, maybe four times the entire year, and you'd see maybe the Texas-Oklahoma game and, you know, just a few of those other matchups out there. You didn't ever really see a Boise State or any of these plethora of games that you had. You didn't have football from morning until night.
As a kid growing up, you know, I always say I grew up east of the Mississippi. There was such a mystique about the white helmets with the red ends. I mean, there was such a mystique about Tom Osborne and the farm kids from Nebraska and everything, being diehard Notre Dame and being, you know, watching all those different things. There was such a mystique that, like we said, it was a much more innocent time. Things were a lot differently portrayed as they were then. But nowadays, you can see them on any – you can watch almost every Division I college football team play a game every weekend. If you want to do it, you can find a television station that most of them are on.
You can subscribe to that pay-per-view, if nothing else.
Yes.
And you kind of mentioned the changes in the conference. We'll point out that now we have the East and the West divisions. We don't have the Legends and Leaders anymore. So I like the names better. Nebraska is going to be in the West with Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, the Huskers, Northwestern, Purdue, and Wisconsin. So when you look at that on paper, you know, Northwestern is fairly good, not that traditional power, but Nebraska and Wisconsin, when you look at football, probably the two powers there. In the East, you got Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Maryland, Penn State, and Rutgers. So for football, I would say the East traditionally is going to be more stacked than what the West is.
Oh, that's all you like to hear about from my brother's Ohio State fan and all his buddies and whatnot is how packed the East is, how packed the East is, how tough it's going to be to get through the East. So
you've already heard this. Is that what you're saying? You've already heard this conversation?
I've had this conversation with buddies back home and the guys that I've ran into this summer is how easy the West is and how anybody, you know, if Nebraska doesn't win the West every year.
Well, come join. You still got to play Nebraska and Wisconsin.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
You look at it on paper with Michigan, Ohio State. Traditionally, yes, but overall, I'll be interested to see how the East and West shake out.
Yeah, and again, it's what it looks like on paper may not be the way it is 5, 10, 15 years
ago. That's why you play them.
That's exactly the deal there. And I think Maryland, Rutgers are nice additions to the conference. Are they the two toughest teams? Are they even in the top half of the toughest teams that they have in the East? I really don't necessarily think so.
No, I don't think they weren't brought into maybe Maryland. You know, Maryland added a lot for baseball.
Yeah.
We're talking basketball now, or football now.
And they'll add for basketball as well. Exactly, I mean, the conference is getting awful tough in basketball, too. But that is a different topic for a different day. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Buzz's Marine is getting away from it all and bringing their showroom to you. Buzz's sales team is setting up shop at the new Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake this Saturday and Sunday. Stop by and see sport boats, pontoons, deck boats, and fishing boats powered by Yamaha outboards. Come see Buzz's this weekend and cruise the water before you buy. Saturday 11 to 4, Sunday noon to 4. Let Yamaha outboards power hours of fun this weekend with Buzz's Marine at Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake, just south of Lexington. For details, go to buzzsmarine.com. We'll see you on the water.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
It's coming fast. This year's premier summer concert series, the Adams County Fair Fest, July 16th through the 19th in Hastings. Check out this incredible lineup. The legendary Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Lee Bryce, the Casey Donahue Band with Aaron Watson, and Thomas Rhett. That's a ton of talent for one Fair Fest. Get tickets for this year's Adams County Fair Fest three ways at the Adams County Box Office in Hastings, online at AdamsCountyFairgrounds.com, or call 402-462-3247.
Bargains, bargains, bargains. Looking for a great deal? Come to Crossroads Ford in Kearney. 08 Cadillac SRX 4 all-wheel drive, $9,900. An 06 Toyota Tundra double cab, 4x4 with limited trim, $19,900. 2005 Ford F-150 super cab, 4-wheel drive XLT trim, stock number 14088T3. Not $10,000, not $8,000. You could buy it today, pay just $5,900. Many other specials marked right on the windshields. That's Crossroads Ford Kearney.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself.
And welcome back here to the Doug and Daddy Show. As we're kind of wrapping things up here on a Tuesday, Randy Buschetter, Damon Day, glad you could join us. And time now for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. I kind of hinted that we were going to talk a little bit about the All-Star Game. So for a $25 gift card, let me set this up a little bit. Salvador Perez, catcher for the Kansas City Royals, is breaking the streak. The Royals have not had a starter in the All-Star game for, I think it's like 14 years or something like that, 15 years. Well, Perez is going to start at catcher for the Royals. So now there is a different franchise in Major League Baseball that now has the longest streak of not having a starter in the All-Star game. All right, so we're going to ask you what team right now has the longest streak of not having a starter in the All-Star game. And it's not the Kansas City Royals because Salvador Perez is starting this year. So if you have an answer for us, give us a call, 236-9900. Or you can call us on the fan line, 888-455-3776. That's 888-455-ESPN. And we have somebody on the line already. All right, what's your guess? Which team is, what's your guess? Who's on the line?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian. What's your guess? It's not the Royals. Who is it?
Well, I'm going to guess San Diego.
San Diego, not a good guess, but San Diego is not the correct answer. They had Peavy back in 2007. So, all right, we'll go on to the next guy. Who's on the line?
Troy,
what's your guess?
Florida.
No, that's not the answer. Try back. Give us a call, 236-9900 or 888-455-3776. Who's on the line?
Kurt.
Kurt, what's your guess?
Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, not a bad guess, but Cabrera in 2011.
Azubril. Replaced Jeter.
Yes, it did. It did. But they had one a couple years ago. Not a bad guess, though. Before that, it would have been Cliff Lee back in 2008. Give us another call back. 236-9900. Who's on the line?
This is Brian again.
Hey, Brian, you got another shot at it. What's your next guess?
How about Chicago White Sox?
That is nicely done, sir. Was that a blind guess, or did it just kind of come to you?
That was about as blind as you can get.
Well, Mark Burley back in 2005 was the last White Sox player to play, start in the All-Star game. Hold on, and Merritt will take your information, and we'll get you all hooked up for that $25 gift card from Troutman's, as Troutman's Tuesday Trivia successfully won there, as the answer is Mark Burley and the White Sox back in 2005. That is the longest streak. The Royals had gone, I think it was Jermaine Dye back in 2000. Even 2000, they went 14 years without having a starter in the All-Star game when Jermaine Dye played for the Royals and started for the Royals back in 2000. That's a long streak. So it's nice to have a Royal in the starting lineup again with Salvador Perez. Yeah, who's a heck of a catcher?
Yes, he is. He's done a great job for them. And Jermaine Dye, that's a blast. That's a
blast in the past.
That is a blast in the past. That is a long run between starts. So
and he can make a lot of long runs. He could track down a lot of balls. He sure did. Hey, as you're tracking down things to do over the summer, you might need a new set of wheels to get from point A to point B and do all the things you want to do. And if you're in the market for a new or used car, Midway Auto Dealership's the place to go. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. They have an everyday, low, hassle-free price on 500 vehicles that they've got available right now. The Midway Certified Program with a year of oil changes, you can get 6-month, 60,000-mile warranty on the vehicle and a 2-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Make sure that you're going to keep rolling. And also, don't forget that you'll have free car washes, not just for that year, but as long as you own the vehicle, which is awfully nice to keep your car looking nice. You know, it gets a little wet and then the dust blows on your car and your car kind of looks like mine does. So we'll have to take it out to Midway. Don't forget, you get those free car washes for the life of your vehicle at Midway. Don't forget to see them at Midway at South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Their complete inventory is online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thinkmidway.com. Midway, it is the better way. Well, Damon, it was good to see you again.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, appreciate it.
We had a Damon Day sighting, and yep. We haven't had one of those for a while, and hopefully you'll be able to join us again next week. You're kind of supposed to be a Tuesday fixture, man.
I am. I took off Tuesdays in June. I'm back at it now.
All right, getting ready for the football season. There's our commitment.
There you go.
That's all we really need to kind of be looking for is that commitment that you'll be talking to
us. Unless I got around to golf to play somewhere.
Knew that was coming up eventually. Want to certainly say thanks to Paul Konendike from Spartan Magazine for talking a little bit of Big Ten football. Our 14 teams in 14 days will continue again tomorrow. And don't forget, end of the month, we will be at the Big Ten Media Days. Randy Bushcutter, Damon Day, thanks for joining us. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow, 11 o'clock, right here on the ESPN Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.